Thank you. Good evening, and thank you for your kind welcome and your accommodating us in Tim Horn's absence. And I also brought a friend, Tim Riley, who has spoken here before, and he's going to share an update in his life, which is really exciting. And he brought his girlfriend Marla and our friend Brandon as well. So I'm excited to have them here as well. So I'll share a little bit about what New Life is doing right now, and then I'll have Tim come up and share, and then I'll finish off with a little bit more of an update and what I'm learning. These are really exciting times for New Life. We've been setting new records and finding a lot of new growth, and we're really excited about what God is doing. New Life is a prison ministry that is quite old. We've been almost 40 years. Serving the Lord. I have not been. I'm under 40, but New Life has been around for quite a long time, and it's just exciting to see how God has been so faithful to us. Last month, our board of directors has approved an updated mission, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "Our mission is bringing transformation and hope through the good news of Jesus Christ to those in Canadian prisons. And our vision to reach this mission is through God's empowerment, we will, one, reach every major correctional facility in Canada, two, provide every person in prison the opportunity to know the Lord Jesus through Bible-based correspondence, and three, connect every interested person with Christian resources upon release." And we're doing this with our studies. We have studies in 132 prisons, and there are only 140 prisons in Canada, and so we're almost there. We're almost there, and there, it's all over the country. You can, if you go to are incarcerated in Nunavut, we can send you a Bible study there. I think that's pretty impressive. I didn't know there was any prisons in Nunavut, but apparently there are facilities, and we've been developing new courses as well. Some of them are on the back table. That you can look at later. We have some on anger. We have grief. We have mastering abuse with the master. We have a very new one on pornography, which is a big problem with offenders and ex-offenders and their culture and our culture in general. As of July this year, we received almost 9,000 courses completed, and that's quite higher than normal. We're ahead by a large percentage from last year. And our Cambridge office, which only does the New Brunswick and a couple of the Ontario institutions, only does courses from those, we smashed a record. Our record was 149, and in July we smashed the record by receiving and completing 203, and which is pretty amazing. Since it's a part-time, very small office. And on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday, I was in the office again picking up a new key for the post office box. And I was told that we had beat that record already, and with 3 or 4 more days to go of mail, we received at that point 208 courses, which is pretty amazing. We are growing so much. We're looking for new people to help us to mark these courses and to correspond with these inmates. We also had a record number of students in July. In July we had 990 students. There are 40,000 inmates in Canadian prisons or institutions at any given time, and almost 1,000 of them are doing our courses, which is pretty impressive. We're really excited about that. We received news from North Bay that there was 12 people who gave their lives to the Lord in July this month this year, which is pretty amazing too. There's so much happening at New Life. It's hard to keep up with the numbers. It's hard to actually keep up with the news sometimes. I had to make a few texts and phone calls, make sure that I had the right information, because it's being outdated so quickly. It's faster than Apple's getting out their iPhones. We also have the ARC, which is the Audio Recordings for Christ, which you can see on our table at the back. We have the ARC, which is being increasingly in demand. They have 180 hours of ministry on them. That's testimonies, studies, sermons, courses. There's so much on them. And people are wanting more and more. They're federally, I don't know if Tim Horn has shared this with you, but federally they're accepted in all federal prisons, which is amazing. When you think that men in prison can only use pencils this size, and they're not really given anything else, that they're allowed to have, and in many provincial institutions as well, they're allowed to have these devices that have the good news of Jesus Christ and resources for them to grow and to learn more about their faith, about the faith that they're in this journey on. It's pretty amazing that that's accepted and that's actually allowed to stay with them in prison. We had a chaplain in Manitoba call our office and asked, asked for 580 of these ARC devices. And Rosemary, the executive director, said, well, how many people are in your prison? And he goes, 580. So they want one for every person in their institution, which is fantastic. We would love to be able to do that. Sorry, I'm just going to make sure I don't dry up here. There's a nice story, or a really interesting and exciting story to me. We have a friend who's in Newfoundland, and she does the Celebrate Recovery there, and she's working in the prisons there as well. And she knew a man who was inside, and she and he was actually transferred to New Brunswick, to Dorchester, and he was all alone. Like, Newfoundland to New Brunswick is quite a stretch, quite a far distance, and so he had nobody, and he was very lonely. And he received one of our ARC devices, and he found her testimony there on it. She was saved in Cambridge, and was really. Has a really amazing testimony, and it was just amazing. He was flabbergasted that he would hear her testimony, that he would hear her voice, and it was so encouraging to him. And he knew that God was speaking to him, that he's not alone, that God is with him. Just the encouragement that the ARC has or was to this man was really cool. I find that very encouraging to know that something that we're developing and we're growing, and that we're using in prisons. Is actually encouraging inmates around our country. And we also have the Joseph Project. I'm not sure if all of you saw the video in February when I was here last with Tim, but we have the Joseph Project, which is growing a lot. There's information about that on the back table. Basically, you can sponsor, people can sponsor an inmate for $35 a month, and that provides for all their courses and all the correspondence, and it allows you to pray for them, and you get a card. We sponsored a couple of them at our assembly, and there's a card. It just shows an outline of a person, and it shows their name and where they're incarcerated and how many studies they've done. But it's neat to be able to pray for them by name, to know that it's not just somebody, you know, a random unknown person in prison, but that we have their name and we can pray for that person by name because God knows their name. They're a number in their institution. And they're often faceless to the community, but to us and to the Lord, they have a name, and they're a person, and that God cares for them. And then we can be updated on what's going on with them and how they're doing, and connect them to resources later on. So those are just some of the exciting things that we are doing and growing in New Life. I'd like to ask Tim Riley. He's come here before. You can come up, Tim. Tim's been here before. I know, he said March last year, but I just wanted to say that I'm really encouraged that Tim is here to share again what the Lord's been doing in his life, because so many times guys get out and they're right back in prison, or they get out and then it's a little while and they're doing all right, and then they mess up, they struggle and they get back inside. And Tim here is just going on for the Lord, and I'm really excited to hear what he's going to say. So, Tim.
Thanks. Good evening. I had a pleasure being here at March of 2017 with Tim Horn. The first place I actually gave my testimony. And I've shared quite a few times since. And what's kind of big for me about today is about 10 years ago, about this time, I turned myself into the police department to an officer named Daryl, who's a personal friend of mine today. I didn't know he was a Christian then. And years later, I walk into my church I go to now, and he was the chairman of the board at the time, and he welcomed me, and God's really using me right now. So my issues was anger and violence, and this is not from that. I got caught between a forklift and a steel beam on Tuesday. So I'm just thankful that's all it was, and the pain's manageable. So a year after I turned myself in, I was incarcerated, and that was the bottom of my life. I've never had the world be a better place without me in it. That's how I thought at the time. So I was open for the first time. I used to be a soldier with the Canadian Airborne Regiment, with the Canadian Force, an elite soldier, and I had a lot of pride issues and self-reliance, and I pushed God quite a way, thinking I could do things on my own, which I found to be the complete opposite. So when I got incarcerated, it was just it was like a sponge. I found these New Life Prison Ministry studies around the range, both in London, and I went to Brampton for a while too. And I was just hungry to hear about, you know, God's word and how it's going to apply to my life. And I needed to change. Not the world. At the time, I thought the world needed to change, but it was really me. And I did quite a few studies, and I was both secular courses to try and change my life, New Life, and other ones. And my friend Brandon had brought today, he's now 95. And how many?
96.
Okay. I never did that, many. So he's a very good friend of mine today, and he got married last weekend, and I was had the honor to be his best man. So that's a part of God using me to help other people in my church that had been incarcerated to be supported. And I met my girlfriend at my church. She's been going there pretty much all her life. So it's been a year for me and her on the 7th. I turned 50 on the 5th, but I don't feel 50. So a lot of amazing things have happened. And a big part of that is a New Life. And when I got out, there's an aftercare program in London that I attended. I'm involved in the leadership role in that today. And for the last, I'd say about a year, Sarnia, I've been involved in that as well in a leadership capacity. And me and Brandon go to both. We're kind of right in the middle between London and Sarnia. And my pastor's using me to other people within my church community as well. And New Life's, you know, Rosemary, Tim Horn, some other people are using me in some capacities to, I'm on the ARC device. My testimony is on it. I was asked to be part of some meetings to plan this year. If you go to the website, you'll see Tim's story. And you'll see me and Daryl, my arresting officer. He's in a video with me sharing how God worked in our lives. It's pretty amazing. I still sometimes pinch myself. And then what's, I guess, the most meaningful for me in the last year is the church asked me to be a welcome team coordinator. So one Sunday a month, I'm in charge of the welcome team, the welcome desk, the ushers, and whatnot. And then in July, Marla and I, almost 700 people, went on a mission trip to Quebec. I was first asked to be a sponsor for a mentally challenged gentleman, which is a friend of mine. Because he always wanted to go on a mission trip, but he needed a sponsor to look after him. So I said yes. And then later on, I was asked to be the team leader. So I was like, me? There was an optometrist on there. There was two teachers. But they asked me. And I got some amazing feedback from that. So it's just another one of those when I pinch myself moments. And I guess a very personal one for me, is which is kind of really new, is, so 10 years ago I was married. So Debbie's her name, and she's since remarried. And we had a vacation Bible school at our church, I think it was early July. And in the last 10 years, I'm making amends to her in the ways that I can. And because she bore the brunt of my faults, my sins, my anger, my garbage. And so she put her son in that vacation Bible school, knowing that I went to that church. And then later on, outside, we had a tailgate party where they had different food booths for people to mix and mingle. So I ran into her, and I go, "Do you know anybody here?" And she goes, "No, I don't." So I said, "Get your food, and I'll sit with you if she wanted." And, of course, we've been good for a long time. So I introduced her to Marla and the pastors, and I gave her a tour through my church. And her son had become a Christian that day during that castaway camp, Vacation Bible School. But she knows nothing about God. So I said, "Well, if you want, put your son into Sunday school and come to the adult services on Sunday. You can sit with me and Marla if you like." And the next Sunday, she did. And what was cool for me that day, it was a great blessing for me, was the recap video of the mission trip to Quebec featuring Jesse, which is a mentally challenged gentleman. Me and him were the main people in the video. That was being shown on the big screen that day. So I had Debbie here, Marla here, and my mom came. My mom's not a Christian either. My family's not Christian. And they're all able to see, you know, something that's not coming for me. And that was in July, and she's come every Sunday since. In the last three, she's brought her new husband and put her daughter in the nursery, and she feels very welcoming and open. She's not Christian yet, but she's open. And I guess the big thing that I'm soaking into myself is she's going to that church knowing that I changed. And she talked to me about a year and a half ago asking for help with her second husband. He wasn't being so nice. And I didn't get too involved, but I gave her some wisdom and I stepped back. But she's going to that church knowing that I changed. So if I can change, they can change. He can change. And I'm still in process. I'll be in process till the day I die. I still have my rough edges. But I have a peace and joy in my life today that is unimaginable. I couldn't dream of that years ago. And even with Marla, it's been a year. It's like, you never know what could happen down the road with me and her. And there's peace between me and my ex-wife. There's peace between her and my girlfriend. And that means the world to me. And that's only because of the grace of God. And then those are some of the highlights that God's orchestrating in my life. And he's using me. And then when I'm asked to speak, I've spoken probably about 8 churches in the last year. And then I had a men's breakfast where I wanted to be the main speaker because I brought new life as the topic for the men's breakfast. But the people had heard me before, but I changed a lot since the first time I gave my testimony. But God had better plans because he had Ted Knowles, which is a big speaker that New Life's using today, George Glover, which founded Teen Challenge Canada. He's a mentor of mine as well today. So all three of us spoke that day. So it wasn't just me. It's just like God's always reminded me, you know, he's got some amazing plans. And 80 men hearing about New Life and everything the church get to know very well. It's very personal because it's not just me and my church been incarcerated before. There's a few of us. And we're welcome. We're included. We're not excluded. So at the back, there's a lot of studies. Some of them I've done. Some are brand new. And thank you for supporting and sponsoring New Life over the years. I know your church does that very, very well. Because it makes a difference in lives like mine. And I'm hopeful today. I'm happy today. So thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Tim. Isn't that exciting to hear that the Lord has been blessing him and growing his faith and challenging him, in a sense, in his own life, and to know that the Lord has great plans for Tim. It's really, really encouraging. I apologize that I spoke so fast earlier. I'm from the city. You got to speak quick, and I get excited. I will try to slow down so that you can understand me. So I want to share a bit about what's happening with aftercare. Aftercare is really, it's an exciting part of New Life, and I'm really excited about it, not only because I'm part of it, but because I just see the value in it, that there is such a great need for it. Tim Horn, so last February, Super Bowl Sunday, Tim Horn brought myself and a couple other guys with him here. It was blizzarding out. It was nice to come in without any snow. I was like, all right, I hope I can find a place. So we came, and Tim shared about the aftercare, about what was going on. And there has been a lot of changes since that time. So I'd like to share that with you. Tim, as you may know, has stepped down from aftercare, from being the director. He's actually stepped back from volunteering with New Life. Because of his work, it creates a bit of a conflict of interest. I don't know if he's shared this at all this morning. He's found it that it's best if he doesn't do that. And that's good. He needs to do that for himself. And we're all on good terms. He still mentors me. I still call him all the time for help. So there's a team of us now that are doing what Tim was doing, and to fill in the gaps and to spread out the work a little bit. And so now I'm the one who receives all the letters from people who are asking for aftercare through the mail and all around the country, and I respond to them. So I get a really eager letter from anybody. They often come in clusters from a certain institution, and usually you know that they're probably talking on a range or on a unit, and they're probably saying, "Hey, check this out. Let's write to this guy and see if we can get some help." But it's been really neat to find other ministries and to say, "Okay, so there's a person who's going to be released to Regina. Let's find some Christians there that are working and growing their ministry and who can help them and walk alongside with them there." It's been really neat to find out what the Lord is doing around this country for ex-offenders, for people on the street, for the homeless. And that's been really neat. We've brought on another individual named Paul Tuck, who couldn't be here tonight. I was hoping to have him along, but he's managing the aftercare program in the Waterloo region and Wellington County, and so he's meeting with guys one-to-one outside the prisons and helping them to work through their issues and such. I'm more the correspondence person right now, and he's more the face-to-face person. I usually direct them to him. So we're working as a team. We have a cell phone that he's manning, and we actually just got a 1-800 number that we are keeping under wraps for right now. We're just using it in Maplehurst because we know that as soon as we broadcast that we have this 1-800 number, everybody's going to want to call, and they're going to call for help. And usually that'll just overwhelm somebody. So we're really excited about that it's been, we're only using it in Maplehurst, but it's been cleared for all provincial institutions in Ontario, which is pretty amazing, which means it's on there. Basically, every institution has phone numbers that they are allowed to call out on. And so this one has been added to each institution's list. I also am a part of I'm also the leader of the aftercare team in Maplehurst. So I'm going into Maplehurst and meeting guys one-to-one, helping them to work through their issues, to find resources for them. And then if they are so inclined, to contact me when they are out, to connect with them again on the outside. And it's really exciting. The chaplains there are really excited about what we're doing, and they are working with us and helping us to grow this even more. I've been doing that for about a year now, and I'm just more excited now about it than I was a year ago. So that's a good thing. Usually prison is a depressing place, and people don't like to go back. But I'm like, yes, I'm going back to jail. Anyways, I'd like to share a couple of stories, and I feel like these really, really help to understand how aftercare and the studies and all of these things kind of mesh together. I received a letter from a guy who is in Maplehurst, and he says, "I'm in Maplehurst. I'm incarcerated here. There's my release date. Could you help me?" And he didn't know that we were coming in, and so I thought, well, I'm not going to write you back, not waste postage, I'll just waste my gas, and I'll come over and visit you. So I walk in one day. It had been a couple of weeks. Usually I try to give a week for a letter at the most. So I come in, and he's in a segregated area. He's in an area that a lot of volunteers aren't allowed into, and I'm just working through the process of being able to go in and go right up to where they are, like up to their doors, basically. So I come walking in, and right up to his segregation door, and he's on the phone, and we say, "Excuse me, can we talk to you for a minute? Are you busy?" And I say, "I'm Gordon. I'm from New Life, and I'm here. You know, you wrote me, and I'm here to talk to you." Well, he hung that phone up real quick, and oh man, you should have seen the look on his face. He was so like, "Wow, I've been doing these studies." And in his letter, he had mentioned his instructor, and he had been encouraged by his instructor and really blessed by these studies and how they had been, you know, teaching him. And here I was at his door. He's looking at me through the hatch because he's on the floor, sitting on the floor, looking through the hatch, and because he had the phone. And I just couldn't believe that. He hung up a personal call to talk to me, and the look on his face of hope and of encouragement and of I'm loved. Like, they actually care about me at New Life. And he, when I walked away from him after verifying things and just chatting with him for a few minutes, the look on his face, and he says, "Come back for a second. I just wanted to say that you guys are amazing. I love you guys. Like, I just can't believe that you guys would take care of us like this." And I just love that he, not only is he doing these courses, but we're able to work with him to develop a plan, to find resources, to help him so that he doesn't, because he says, I am so afraid that I'm not that I'm not going to be able to stay clean outside, that I'm going to come right back in, and I don't want to come back here. And I love that we can walk alongside with him. And we have a volunteer who we have, he's being released next year, but we're going to be able to pair him up with this volunteer to walk alongside with him, help him with the life skills, help him with being accountable, help him to see how God can work in his life and what God is doing, and to understand the scripture and how to apply that. There's so much that this one-to-one mentorship can do, not only through the courses that's what they do with when they write letters, but one-to-one over a coffee, and I really love that. Another story out of Maplehurst is there, and I'm actually kind of jealous that I was not the person to meet him. This other man who goes in with me, Julio, he met with a guy one day recently, and I heard about it. And I'm just so excited. This is such a neat story. This guy's sitting in his cell with his cellmate, and bored out of his mind because they're in remand. They don't have anything to do. They're not given jobs. And in the sentenced area, they can maybe do laundry or they cook food for other institutions, or maybe they mow the lawn around the community. But in remand, they're not. They're just sitting there doing nothing. That's why we have a lot of courses there. So he's sitting there doing nothing on his bed, and his cellmate has one of our courses and on his bed, and he says, "Well, are you going to do that?" Like, the guy had read through the book, but he didn't do the exam. And he says, are you gonna do that?" And he goes, "No, you can have it." So he takes it, does that exam, sends it in, gets another one, does that, sends it in. I don't know how many he did a few. And I'm sorry, I should have said, this man is a Muslim from a high density neighborhood in Ontario, and from the, I'm not even sure where he's from, probably Pakistan, India. That's my guess by his name. So he's from a Muslim background, and he does our courses, and he gets saved. He got saved. He gave his life to the Lord, and then he when the chaplain came around and asked him if he wanted to do aftercare, because he was one of our students, he said yes. My friend went in and visited with him. He shared the story that he was actually growing. He's growing in the Lord because of these studies and because of the work with the chaplains. And so because I have friends in that neighborhood where he's from, I said, well, let me message my friend and see if he can connect us with somebody who can meet with him outside. I called emailed this group, and they're so excited to meet with him when he gets out. And it's such a neat experience to me to see that this man who may have never in the community would have maybe been blocked by barriers of obviously religion, the community, you know. Even if he was a nominal Muslim, the Muslims kind of protect themselves and protect each other from other people. Like they're very unto themselves sometimes, they're just the busyness of life. Well, God put him in prison so that he would be saved, and then now he's growing, and he's going to be out having someone come and visit with him and encourage him and mentor him in the faith and disciple him, and he'll be. We'll connect him with a church group that can really be a blessing to him. I love that. It's so exciting to know, because when you're in that kind of an environment where everyone around you is not like you, and is like your past, it's very easy to become despondent and to fall back into that. And that happens a lot with our students. Many times they come back in and we see them again and again. But God still loves them. He still cares for them. And that's one thing that I'm learning. It is challenging. That is one of the challenges, is that there is a reoffending rate that we want to try to diminish. And they've actually said that one of the best ways to keep from reoffending is to find a faith community. Faith community, in my mind, meaning church, you know, nothing else. That those who connect with a faith community are so much more likely to stay out of prison when they get out. I find it. This summer, my son is only five, and he got a seed from school. We're in an inner city school, sort of. It's a city school, which means there's no buses. And half the population is poor, so they were teaching them a little bit about agriculture, which I assume more of you know about than we do. So bear with me for this little story. But I what I've been learning in that. So he received a seed. We were like, well, let's plant it. So we planted it in this little cup, and we said, well, we got to find somewhere else for this, because they said it was a bean plant. So we were excited. Oh, right, we're going to have beans. Yay. My wife and I got this green thumb suddenly. And we said, let's get a plot. We live in an apartment building. So we had to get a plot in the community garden, which is a few blocks away. And we got this big plot, and we're like, well, what else are we going to plant there? Okay, let's plant some other things, pumpkins and beans and such. And we planted his little bean plant seed there, and we're all excited about it. Yes, look at this. This is going to be great. And we've been going out to our garden and watering it and checking on it and trying to figure out what is a weed and what is not a weed and what is grass and what is not grass. And when we first went there, we were like, do we need to put soil on top or not? Like, we didn't know any of this. I've been finding there's been rocks, and there's been weeds, and there's been other things, and it's been very interesting to find different things in our garden, and then to find out that the rabbits have come and eaten our beans. And actually, his bean turned into a corn. So obviously, you can tell that our teachers have no idea in the city what is a bean and what is a corn. So we were actually really like, oh, wow, I was so excited, and then our corn got taken by an animal. So we're like, oh, no. But the patience that I'm learning with this growing of in this garden, and I love this. And I've been noticing that in the beginning, God created, He created a garden, right? And He put Adam and Eve in the garden. And one of Jesus' favorite places to be was in the garden. And one of the last places that He was before He died was the garden. And when He was in His resurrected body, like He was out there with with Mary. And who did she think he was? She thought he was the gardener. So I'm learning that God is a gardener. He loves gardening. He loves gardening the garden of our life. He loves to plant in our lives and to grow things in our lives. And sometimes we don't even know what he's growing. We're like, okay, what is this fruit? What is happening in this corner, Lord? And it turns out to be something else, but it's beautiful. Like I would have, if that bean plant had turned out to be something else, that was not good, I'd be like, well, what is going on here? Like, I wouldn't have been happy, but I was happy that it was corn. I was like, hey, we got corn. And then it didn't work out. So that's what God is doing in our lives, right? He's weeding out the bad things, the habits, the problems in our lives, and he's patient. He takes the time. When we first had our pumpkin plant, we saw this little sprout. We're like, yay, we're gonna have pumpkins! And then now it's like totally taking the whole garden over. We didn't realize that, and we're like, what's going on here? And it's been a very amazing adventure for us as city folks. But to know that the Lord is taking care of us, and he's taking out the stones of addictions in people's lives. He's taking out the weeds of hurts and habits and abuses and unloving relationships that they've had. And not only in my life, but in the lives of inmates and ex-offenders and everyone. We're all offenders. At Dismas Fellowship, which Tim would... mentioned a little bit, there is one of the principles is that we are all offenders, and I really enjoy that we understand that we're all sinners. We all have these problems. Maybe my problems don't look like Tim's did, or maybe Tim's don't look as bad as somebody else's who's inside, but we all have fallen into sin, and we've all been given this grace by God, and he's the gardener. He's patiently, lovingly caring for us, for the garden of our lives and the gardens of their lives. And I really am excited about that to see how God is working in it. And sometimes I'm so impatient. I'm like, Lord, please just work in this guy's life. Just make it all perfect, beautiful. And he's like, wait, be patient. I've got a great plan. It's gonna be even better than you expect. If you pick that fruit now, it won't be ripe and it won't be good. You will spit it out. And another thing about the fruit is that fruit, I've noticed through this, it dawned on me when I was working in our garden, I thought, wow, every fruit, the purpose of fruit is not only to feed us humans, but it's to reproduce. That's where all the seeds are, right? And because I was like, so I'm still trying to figure out, maybe one of you can explain it to me, where you get lettuce seeds from in the lettuce plant. But but like a tomato has seeds, and that's where you get the seeds from. I may be totally wrong. But I'm just encouraged that the fruit of in Tim's life and in other offenders' lives, ex-offenders' lives, is bearing more fruit and more plants and more gardens. And I just love that God is working and he's growing this garden in our lives and in ex-offenders' lives, those who are inside and in this world. It's time to close. But I just wanted to say that there are some books, some course books at the back that you can look at. There's also a few letters that we've received that they don't have names or any locations per se on them. I encourage you to read them and to see what these inmates are saying to us, what we read when we see, when we get correspondence from them and the how their lives are changed. It's an exciting thing to read. And we'd love to talk to you at the back. Tim, Brandon, my wife, she does correspondence courses, she's in the back there. And myself, we'd all love to share with you what God is doing even more so at the back. Let's just close in prayer then. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this assembly, this gathering of believers, and for the blessing that they are to this community, to others around, and to your church, and I thank you for their partnership with New Life in the past in a variety of ways, and especially in prayer, Lord. And I thank you that they are a praying church, and that they don't have a low view of prayer, but they have a very powerful view of prayer, and they pray for everything. And I love that, Lord. And I thank you for your blessing this community with this assembly, and I Thank you for the blessing they've been to me and to Tim and others tonight. And we just want to commit ourselves to you and now as a body of believers here. And thank you again. And Lord, we want to see your kingdom grow. And we want to see that here in our lives and in our world. And we look forward to seeing what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.